Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday. 6 o'clock hour is upon us here on Dukes and Bell. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app. Nick Cale in for Carl and Mike today. Great stuff out of Harry Douglas, who is with us for the first 3 hours today, as well as our producer, Bo Johnson. A lot to do here in the final 60 minutes. We'll give out some NFL picks against the spread before we get out of here in about 45 minutes. Also, earlier this week, DJ Shockley was on with Andy and Randy in the midday show. And I thought he was fantastic. We'll give you a little condensed version of Shock, and then we'll react to that on the back end. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. But right now, Bo Johnson, it's time for the top three at six.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, time for the top three at six, which is brought to you by Johnson and All Day Injury Attorneys. Visit JohnsonAllDay.com. We begin with the Atlanta Falcons. Big one coming up on Sunday, as we will see if, in fact, Raheem Morris and the Falcons can beat a good team. Because so far, we have seen Raheem Morris and the Falcons take care of some teams. Well, let's just say they're not contending for Super Bowls in 2020, 2021. But the Las Vegas Raiders are currently the 7 seed. They are a team that had the Chiefs on the brink for a second straight time this year until they let them off the hook. But they're a good team, and there's a lot to look at with this matchup. First of all, the big news of the day for the Falcons is that Todd Gurley, just a couple of hours ago, was ruled out with his knee injury. He will not play against the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday. So it will be a combination of Hill and Smith and running back by committee. And maybe that's a good thing. And maybe we will see more from the running backs in the passing game, and maybe it's more of a, you know, distribute the rock to six or seven other guys, because we have seen constantly that this team tries to force feed Julio and Calvin Ridley. Some of that's on Matt Ryan. A lot of that is on Dirk Cutter. Maybe we'll see some up-tempo, some things to keep the Raiders off balance, because as good as the Raiders are, especially offensively, they are not that good defensively. And the quarterback of our Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan, look, he ain't going to say that the Raiders defense stinks, because that's would just be bulletin board material. And Matt's been around long enough to know not to say something like that. But they do have a guy named Mr. Abrams from Mississippi State on that back end of the Raider defense, and Matt Ryan knows about him.
Yeah, I think Abrams playing really well. Physical player, does, you know, a lot of good things, coming down as a safety. Into the front seven, you know, he rushes well, very physical, good player. You know, I've been impressed with, you know, watching him. I think their defense as a whole is sound. You know, their scheme, guys understand their responsibilities in the scheme. You don't really see people out of position. They're disciplined that way. You know, and it's going to be a good challenge for us.
So Jonathan Abrams is a very good player. He's kind of one of these safeties that boy, all of a sudden he comes flying down into the box on a run play, and he's like a heat-seeking missile, and he just blows you up. Not bad in coverage as well. Also on the back end for that Raiders secondary is Damon Arnett, the youngster out of Ohio State. So they've got some talent on that back end, but by and large, a Raiders defense that is probably in the bottom seven or eight in the league in a lot of categories. But we'll see, because we know what the Falcons can do against suspect defenses. They can put up points, and I think they're going to need every bit of that this week, because the Raiders, it feels like they're good for 27 or 28. Falcons defense comes in 32nd in the league in yards per play allowed. The Raiders are 26th. So if you're one of those guys who likes to wager on a game, may I suggest the over? Just a suggestion, if you would like to dabble in a high-scoring game. Okay, also for the top three at six, we got to give it up for the Atlanta Hawks. A lot of optimism with the job that Travis Schlenk has done, and now what Lloyd Pierce will have at his disposal to coach this year. This team is incredibly deep. They've got versatile players. And look, going into the offseason, after the restart, once the league resumed in the bubble and we knew the Hawks were done, we realized a couple things. This team needs some defense. This team needs some shooting. They need some size. There was a lot of glaring deficiencies. And to Travis's credit, he's gone out and done that. They have brought in guys like Bogdanovich, Gallinari, Rondo. You've got veterans. You've got guys in the prime of their career. You have guys that are three-point specialists, guys that can defend a little bit. You've got some rim protectors in the draft with Okongwu from USC with the sixth overall pick. So this team, while it might not have a second star, it has a star and two or three other quality players. There is depth, and they're very versatile. Like, Lloyd Pierce could easily come out this year with four or five different starting lineups and three or four different units throughout a game when he needs some defense for a 3 or 4 minute stretch. If this team needs more spacing and pacing, they can play with Trey and a couple of snipers on the wing. So they have a lot of versatility, and here's your Hawks GM, Travis Schlenk, talking about that versatile player.
We certainly put an emphasis on guys that can play multi-positional basketball. So it is, as we tried to build out this roster, to give ourselves the most flexibility as possible, give coach the most flexibility possible as different lineups he can put on the floor.
And you look at this roster right now, they're going to have 17 guys going to camp, and really, I mean, 12, 13 quality guys that could very well be, let's just say, steady pros. And that starts way probably at the bottom with maybe a Skylar Mays, who was the second round pick in the draft from LSU, 50th overall a couple of nights ago. And you look at the backcourt. I mean, legitimately, basically seven guys: Trey Young, Rajon Rondo, Bogdan, Dunn, Cam Reddish, Huerter, Mays. That's just your backcourt. Then you want to go to the 3/4. We've got Hunter, we've got Danilo, we've got Collins. You've got two centers in Clint Capella and Okongwu. So we're now looking at a point where, if we want to go big, I mean, you could easily roll with Capella, Collins, and then Gallinari as your three. If you feel like that's too big and a little slow and you're getting exposed on the perimeter, you can downsize. You can go with Okongwu as your center. Then all of a sudden, maybe Gallinari is your stretch four, and then you could roll with Cam, Rondo, and Trey Young. Or you could say, you know what, I want some shooters on the floor. I'm going with Trey. I'm going with Bogdanovich. I'm going with Gallinari. And you look at guys like Gallinari and Bogdanovich, 38, 39, 40% in a season from three, 38% for their career. This league has now, there's two things about the NBA, the modern day NBA. You got to have stars. Stars control the sport. You got to have multiple stars. We're not there yet, but we could be on our way. And you got to have shooting. Like the old days of, you know, Mark Jackson bringing the ball up at the point for the Pacers and, you know, backing you down from half court and milking the shot clock and throwing it into the post. Those days are so over. It is about the analytics of the game, getting up and down the floor. I mean, the analytics of the three versus the two-pointer. You know, old-school basketball guy might start, oh my God, there are 17 seconds left on the shot clock. What's he doing? Like, the metrics of the game dictate that this is where the league is going. And look, you can only, it'll only take you so far. As you've seen, I mentioned this with Harry Douglas, you know, you watch guys like Westbrook and Harden in that system with D'Antoni in Houston, it's entertaining. You're going to have one guy dropping 33 a night, another guy dropping 28, you know, multiple guys in the MVP conversation. You could get a one seed or a two seed. But at the end of the day, when we do get to the playoffs, and I'm talking about when we get to the Western Finals, the Eastern Finals, the NBA Finals, when we're in late May and June, you got to be able to get stops, and you got to be able to get defensive stops at that end of the floor. And if you look at this team right now, Rondo's a pesky defender. When Rondo's engaged and he's not mentally checked out, very good defensively. Not to mention DeAndre Hunter, who I think he has a long way to go, but I know he has the ability to defend. I mean, I saw it at Virginia. Now, I'm not saying you can come into the NBA just because you locked people up at UVA and all of a sudden you're going to be Scottie Pippen on that end of the floor. I'm not saying that. But defensively, we've got guys now. We've got rim protectors. We've got guys that can get on the glass and board. We have everything except for that second star. And that will come in time if this team can get to 36, 37, 38 wins this year, a 7 seed or an 8 seed, because then all of a sudden, a guy like Giannis is going to say, all right, look what Trey's doing with a lot of quality pieces, but not another star. Could be the missing piece. Could cost a lot. We're getting way ahead of ourselves, but it could be very entertaining. And I think the optimism this year, it feels great, honestly, just to know that this team should be in the mix for the playoffs. And we shall see. All right, the final one for the top three at 6. College football heating up. North Carolina, Notre Dame, and a good one in Chapel Hill today. We've got the Iron Bowl tomorrow, which you'll hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then tomorrow night, the Dogs go to South Carolina as JT Daniels Act 2.0 as they take on the Gamecocks and former Georgia quarterback Mike Bobo, now in for Will Muschamp. But let's hear about the current Dogs head coach, Kirby Smart, talking about areas for JT Daniels to improve.
You see him make good throws. I think his mobility is not going to do anything but hopefully improve his decision making and the things that the people around him got to play well. He's got to get a run game around him to help him in order to reach his full potential and things like that.
Definitely the run game to improve, and I'm not really concerned about JT Daniels' mobility. I watched him last night. Like, everybody wants to crush Mississippi State because they're not scoring like we all expected them to score with Mike Leach as the head coach. But look back a few weeks ago, Mississippi State had the number one ranked defense in points per game allowed in the SEC. Mississippi State's defense is actually not that bad. And for JT Daniels to look as sharp as he did 14 months removed from his last game action and just throw dart after dart, here, all I know is he threw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. And I think he's capable of doing the same thing at against a weak South Carolina team that has been a disaster this year. So, yeah, certainly areas to improve. I mean, come on, of course. But, you know, it's kind of hard to build off of 404 touchdowns in your first game, right? I mean, I guess he could go for 5 bills and 5 touchdowns. It's possible. All right, that's the top three at 6 here on Dukes and Bell. We will come back, and speaking of the former Georgia Dogs quarterback and a guy who knows the position in Athens quite well, DJ Shockley from the SEC Network and ESPN. He joined Andy and Randy on the Midday Show. We'll give you a condensed version of that and then some thoughts on the back end. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell, Nick Kalen for the guys here on a Friday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Dukes and Bell here on a Friday edition of the show. Nick Kalen for the guys, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app. We've got NFL picks against the spread coming up in about 20 minutes. Right now in the fourth quarter in Chapel Hill, number 2 Notre Dame leads 19th ranked North Carolina 24-17. About 10 minutes to go in that one. A Notre Dame drive right here to make it a 2-score game would potentially put this one out of reach, but it's still a long way to go. Right now, let's give you a little condensed version of DJ Shockley, who was on with Andy and Randy on the Midday Show earlier this week. And the conversation will end with the Heisman Trophy discussion, which we're going to get into when we come back from it. But it begins with the guy that really has a lot of potential ahead of him, and that's quarterback JT Daniels.
Man, you know what, man? I thought as the game progressed, you could see the comfort level growth. And at the beginning of the game, first couple of series, he took a sack that I thought he had an opportunity to throw the football away, or I thought he had a chance to just get out of there and make something happen. And you could tell he was still trying to feel out his way inside the pocket. And that was one of the things that Kirby talked to us about, was everybody wants to know why he hasn't played. Well, it's a lot of the stuff physically that they weren't sure about. And I thought as that game progressed, he grew as a QB inside the pocket and felt better and could understand the speed of the game. There were a couple times where you could see him changing plays. You could see him getting them into good plays. You could see him one time, one of their best linebackers, Aaron Brule, comes scot-free. He makes the guy miss, climbs up in the pocket, throws a dime to Pickens, who actually drops the football. But I thought that was probably his best play of the game, moving in the pocket, throwing it, and then just being accurate. So overall, man, I thought he played well. The numbers obviously are a big part of it, but I just love the way he mentally went about the game and then physically got better as the game went on.
What have you made of the conversation coming out of the game about his performance? Because we all knew if he played like this or anything near this, people were going to react by saying, well, why wasn't it sooner? Maybe could have beat Florida if he had been in the game. Maybe could have beat Alabama if he had been in the game. Do you sort of accept what we've heard from Kirby and say, yeah, all right, well, he was good, but he wasn't ready back then, and that's just kind of the deal?
I mean, absolutely. I can – because when we talked to him last week, he talked about some of the things that he was doing in practice. And as a QB, you understand what that feels like. And you don't want to throw a guy out there and he loses confidence because you know he's not ready, but you want to see what he's about. And I thought that he gave them something different in that ball game. And it took him those 2 weeks saying, hey, you're going to be the guy preparing. When, you know, they didn't have the Missouri game, now you're getting ready for an entirely different ball game, but you got 2 weeks to prepare. You got 2 weeks to put in the style of game plan you wanted. And I truly believe he probably was not ready. They said mentally he was up to par. He, you know, prepared each week like he was going to be the guy, but you can see little things in practice that showed you he wasn't ready to step in there and throw a football with guys barreling down on you, if he can move, if he couldn't move, if things are moving fast. Too fast for him. So I can understand it, and I know exactly where Kirby's coming from. And I think the fact they had those couple weeks was big for him confidence-wise and the coaches confidence-wise that he's ready to go.
Shock, what defensively, it just seems like, you know, Georgia, it was just that you know, dying by 1,000 cuts. It seemed like it was on third. It was second and four. It seemed like every drive. And then it got to a point where it was second and four, but they're like 6 yards off. What did you think of the defensive game plan for Georgia?
Yeah, man, that's crazy you asked that, because I asked Coach Lanning and I asked Kirby the exact same question you just asked me. I said, you guys are aggressive by nature. You guys' DNA is to get after people, to play press man coverage. And they both smiling. They were shaking their head because they knew that's not the plan that they needed. And they couldn't come into this ball game and not do what everybody had did before them, which was rush three and drop eight. And it just was something different about it. He talked about all week that they had the players act as coaches, as far as they had the bat down coach. They had the zone coverage drop coach. So they had an emphasis on doing the things that hurt Mississippi State. And then on the other side, when we talked to Mississippi State, they said, we have to be good on first down, because if we get to second and third and long, then they're going to bring those exotic blitzes. We're going to be in trouble, and we're not going to be able to protect. Their offensive line hadn't been good all year. So you knew coming to this ball game, the emphasis for them was to get the ball out of their hands. And Georgia played a little soft on the back end because they were playing that, you know, rush through drop eight. At times they brought up the corners, but at the end of the day, the quarterback did a really good job of finding that open guy to match up. And then that's why they were in that second and four, second and five range. And Georgia just had to deal with it. And I think the biggest part of it was they wanted to force them to go 10, 11, 12 play drive and see if they would be patient enough. And at times they were.
DJ Shockley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, as he does on Tuesdays at 11:20. Called the Georgia game on Saturday night. What would you say Georgia is best at right now, just given the entirety of the season? If you're going into a game and you're saying, I'm hanging my hat on this, this is what Georgia does best.
Well, I don't even think we have that answer. I think you look at, obviously you thought it would be the run game, but then you come in here and Mississippi State says, hey, we're not going to allow you to run the football, and you run for 8 yards in the game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you would think Georgia would always be able to depend on the run game, but that wasn't the instance so far. I still think Georgia is a ground and pound team. I still believe that that's where they want to be. But now with JT Daniels, that changes everything because you saw exactly what this offense can look like when you have a quarterback back there that can throw the football vertically. I still believe they will get better running the football, and I still think it's a work in progress because you haven't had the guy behind the center to get it going and be consistent. So I think we're just starting to see where this offense can possibly go with the guy back there that makes the defense a little nervous.
Shock, how good do you think Burton can be?
Who's that?
Burton. How good do you think he can be?
Yeah. You know what? He's the one guy that when we talked to the coaching staff, they pointed out has been the most consistent guy from week in and week out. He's been a guy that has improved, not only in practice, but in games, has become that guy. And when you get one-on-one opportunities, you got to make them count. And when Pickens came back, there was a little bit more coverage to him, and he had the opportunity to win on those one-on-ones, and he did. And I'm talking about making the big plays down the field. They try to get it to him in the bubble screen, the tunnel screen game. You can tell there is a concerted effort to get him the football because of his ability, and you can see it. I think this dude's going to be a dog for a while. This dude's going to make plays. He's going to make everybody else better. And he's even going to take the level of Pickens' game up a little bit more because more balls are going to go to Burton because of that.
Yeah, and I just think we're going to be able to get a chance to see what some of these individuals can do now that you've got the quarterback that can get them the ball more consistently. I don't know if that's the answer to this or honestly, whatever you want to go with. But what do you need to see Georgia improve upon most from here on out? Just a couple games left. What are you keying on and saying, all right, I hope I really know this by the end of the season?
Well, I think it's consistency. There have been times throughout the year where there's been inconsistent play. And the defense, of course, has had their ups and downs with guys being in and out of the lineup and Mississippi State coming in with a totally different offense. Kirby said this was like preparing for the triple option, because this is something we don't see all week. So the inconsistency there, you can understand, but I want to see consistency on the offensive side of the ball. I want to see JT go out and continue this kind of output, but also continue to be able to run the football. Now, it's going to be tough. Georgia fans are going to have to really kind of temper their expectations because they got South Carolina and Vandy coming up, two teams that aren't really good on the defensive side of the ball. South Carolina's got three or four opt-outs on the back end, so it could be another really good performance. But I just want to see consistency. Play the way you're supposed to play in these ball games. Don't play to the level of your competition. Play to the standard in which everybody expects you to play it, which is scoring points, stopping people on the other side, creating turnovers, and hold on to the football. So if they can be consistent in these next two ball games and not play to the level of competition, then that goes a long way going into the offseason.
Yeah.
Hey, Shock, who's the better quarterback in the SEC right now, Mac Jones or Kyle Trask?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a good question, man. You know what? Right now, I think I'm going to go with Kyle Trask with the way that he's been playing, his ability to get that football to so many different dudes on the perimeter and take care of the football. He's not turning it over. I think he is really dangerous, but I think it's splitting hairs right now. But if I had to take a choice, I would go with Trask.
All right, that was DJ Shockley on with Andy and Randy on the Midday Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick Cale in for Dukes and Bell here on a Friday edition of the show. And that's where I wanted to go, and Shockley's great. And I'm so glad that he said Kyle Trask is the best quarterback in the SEC right now, because we need to have this conversation about the Heisman for like 3 minutes here. All right, so there's a couple of things. People need to realize that the Heisman race right now is between three players. It is between Kyle Trask, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first pick in the draft, and Trevor Lawrence, when he's on the field, is the best player in college football. But right now, the Heisman Trophy is about who is the most outstanding player in college football. Trevor Lawrence hasn't played in, 39 days? Now, what is Trevor Lawrence's case for the Heisman? What has Trevor Lawrence done this year that says, I'm the leader for the Heisman? His best case is, well, yeah, my team lost because I was out with COVID. Now, it's not his fault, but the best argument for Trevor Lawrence right now, and it's not based on last year, it's not based on your draft potential, it's based on this year. So I put Trevor Lawrence at 4. And oh, by the way, if Ian Book wins this game for Notre Dame today at North Carolina, he's going to have wins over Carolina and Clemson. He's going to be 29-3 as a starter on the number 2 team in the country. And oh, by the way, it's a program like Notre Dame, he should be in the conversation for Heisman as well. But I think right now it's a runaway by Kyle Trask over Mac Jones. Look at the numbers that this guy is putting up. He's basically putting up Joe Burrow numbers from last year, Tua Tagovailoa numbers from 2 years ago, and numbers that Danny Werfel put up at Florida back in 96 when he won the Heisman. And I love Mike Griffith. I've had Mike on the show from the AJC. I know Willie P has him on a lot. He was on Feinbaum a day or two ago, and he had Kyle Trask at like 4 or 5. And I'm thinking, Mike, how do you say that? And one of his arguments was, well, he had a bad half against Vanderbilt. I'm like, all right, 30 minutes against Vanderbilt where you came in and as a team, they were sleepwalking against the laughingstock of the conference. But, I mean, he still finished with a great game, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think Kyle Trask is the leader for the Heisman right now, ahead of Mac Jones and ahead of Justin Fields, betting favorite in Vegas. They have it pretty much. I think it's like Kyle Trask is plus 175. Mac Jones and Justin Fields are plus 185. It's close, but even the experts, the handicappers in the desert, have Kyle Trask as the favorite. We got to forget, like, who cares who you root for? Or who cares what team you cover? I mean, if you're being objective about it, Kyle Trask is having a really phenomenal season. And in the loss against A&M, it wasn't his fault. He went up and down the field. Florida just couldn't get a stop defensively.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.